Hello, Work That's Worth It listeners. I'm thrilled to bring you a special series of mini podcast episodes to celebrate my book launch. Truthfully, I absolutely love sharing stories and insights from the people I call disruptors for goods with you all. While writing my book, also called Work That's Worth It, I discovered there were so many inspiring conversations that couldn't all fit within its pages. Instead of keeping these gems hidden away in my Dropbox folders, I wanted to get them out in the world. These mini episodes are my gift to you, little bursts of value from the remarkable people who've shaped my thinking about meaningful work. Would you walk away from a career that paid well? Most people think they need to make money before doing good. But what if waiting only makes it harder to ever make the leap? When I sat down with Elspeth Jones, who at the time was the Deputy Chief Executive of Client Earth, to discuss the importance of purpose at work, we ended up having a deeper conversation on the privilege of choosing meaningful work over money. Just like most other people, the early years of Elspeth's career was focused on a different kind of purpose, creating financial security for herself and her family. In this episode, you'll hear what helped her finally leave a high-paying career to pursue what truly reflected her values, and how her work at Client Earth allowed her to make a bigger impact on the world than she ever dreamed of. If you've ever wondered, do I actually care about the work I'm doing, or am I using my talents in a way that truly matters? Her story will resonate. Let's begin at the moment Elspeth knew she had to make a change.
I learned how to dive, scuba dive, and just sort of fell in love with the underwater world and started having some of those sorts of experiences. And then I started picking up some books about the environment and reading a bit more. And I just sort of suddenly reached a stage where I could see the climate crisis looming and the biodiversity crisis, or what I call it now. I didn't sort of recognize it as that at the time, looming. And I'd sort of, in my sort of head down state, I'd sort of assumed that somebody in the world was dealing with those things. You know, surely, you know, you learn about rainforests being cut down when you're in primary school. And I just sort of assumed that somebody had figured all that out. And then I suddenly sort of realized that, oh my goodness, nobody has got this problem. You know, it's running away, and our sort of global systems, our economic systems are set up in a way that, you know, this is just spiraling and getting worse and worse. And then at the same time as that, my sort of portfolio of clients, I was sort of building a niche in oil rig disputes. So oil rigs falling over at sea, or oil tankers not turning up on time, or oil tankers being built defectively. And I suddenly sort of had this juxtaposition between what I was sort of learning about and reading about, and sort of, you know, probably what was where my heart was. And then this sort of world where I was making my money and working. And I was like, oh, wow. And then suddenly I could see that, you know, I had blueprints of oil rigs on my office walls because I was, you know, having arguments about how oil rigs were built. And then it just clicked. And I was like, aha, okay, this is why I'm not feeling fulfilled. There's a complete mismatch with how I spend my, I suppose, 90,000 hours, as you would say, and what I really care about in the world and what I understand to be the real problems in the world.
We can't ignore the real-life pressures that shape people's career choices. Like many, Elspeth first followed a more traditional path of building a career around financial goals instead of her purpose. Here's Elspeth explaining why financial security was the first priority in her early career.
At the point of leaving university, my priority became financial stability. Having done a law degree and a master's in law at Oxford, that set me up pretty well to go into a high-earning career. And I sort of made a beeline for the commercial law world because that's where the sort of the big money was, I suppose. And I had two younger sisters, and I was worried about sort of my financial security, their financial security, and my mom's financial security. And so I was sort of blinkered in the, I need to make some money. So in the UK, we have a split legal profession between solicitors and barristers. And barristers do the court advocacy. And there's, in some ways, the barrister's part of the profession is seen as a bit more prestigious as well. In reality, it's not, but there's a perception that it is. And then the commercial bar is probably seen as more prestigious in other areas as well. So yeah, it has that sort of prestige that goes with it as well, and the financial security. And so I steered in that direction and took a pupillage at a commercial barrister's chambers, and then spent just over 6 years actually doing that. And my dad, just after I started at my chambers, my dad died. And so for quite a while, I didn't have the headspace to sort of look up at the rest of the world. I was, you know, I was sorting that out. I was still just like financial security, financial stability, two younger sisters who I was worried that they wouldn't be able to support themselves for a while. And so it was just head down financial security. And I feel like I was sort of then head down for probably about 5 years.
In this next clip, Elspeth talks about what helped her walk away from her career with confidence and why she knew she had to do it before it was too late.
I had built up some savings at that point, quite a decent pot of savings. I'd earned a decent amount at the bar and lived reasonably frugally, I suppose. So I had a good safety net, so I could afford to sort of take a gamble, go as an intern, and try it for a year. And if it didn't work out, then I could take another path and I could sort of survive on what I'd saved. At that point as well, my family life was quite different. My sisters were in jobs. Everything was much more secure. So I didn't feel that sort of wider need sort of be there as a safety net for my family. And then the other enabler at that time was, it was before I had children. And I actually could see other people in my chambers who were maybe 3 years ahead of me in their careers, or a little bit more than that. And they had reached a point where they had bought a huge house. They were hugely committed on a mortgage. They had children in private school in London, and they couldn't leave if they wanted to because there was no comparable salary. And I could see it happening to people. And I realized if I was going to leave, it had to be now, before I locked myself into a lifestyle that I wouldn't be able to afford. Yeah, the salary.
I love that. I mean, you've just put into words and given life to the character that I have, which is, it's hard to turn around later because you have all these financial commitments and people relying on you. And I 100% understand that. And I love what you have just said also, because it's ammunition for my younger audience, is you do have to get on this early. So I'm building up a list of quotes from all the lovely people that I'm interviewing of why you can't be the person who says, I'm just going to make money first. And I have like a range of different ones from the different people. But what you've just said is also like, the window's going to shut.
It's definitely a window. And in some ways, having that money that enabled me to then make the leap over. But, you know, I think, you know, give it another five years and the window would have shut.
Now, listen to Elspeth describe the unexpected rewards of purpose-driven work and the impact she's been able to make through her work at Client Earth.
It's absolutely that sense of making an impact on the world, that I'm making a contribution that is much bigger than myself or even just my clients. So, you know, it's that feeling that every day I go to work and hopefully I'm making a bigger contribution to the world, which, you know, is about values, but it's a bit more than that as well. You know, I suppose maybe it's about legacy even. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it like that, but it's, you know, that it's having an impact on the world.
So is it being part of something bigger than you?
It's more than that, because I suppose you could work for a big law firm and be part of something that's bigger than you, but it's being part of a purpose that's bigger than you. I would say the other thing that springs to mind is adventure. Taking this path has opened up adventure, which has been amazing. When I joined, we were about 50 people, and we're about 300 now, and we've got offices sort of all over the world. And just being part of that growth in itself has been an adventure. We've had to sort of figure it all out. It's a bit like being in a startup, I would say, even though I sort of wasn't there at the beginning. It's that adventure of, how do we do this? And how do we open an office here? And how do we partner with those guys? And how do we pull this off? And so there's adventure in that, in the sort of building something, creating something. And then I think there's also adventure in my work over the last 10 years has taken me to the rainforest in Sumatra. I've been to sort of northern Uganda. I've every day I work with people all over the world. You know, we obviously work like this, but, you know, I work with people in Singapore, in Beijing, we have people in LA, you know, it's just we're all joined by this sort of shared sense of purpose of what we're trying to achieve in the world, which is just really rewarding.
Elspeth's story shows us that the real payoff of impact-driven work isn't just about doing good. It's the excitement, the adventure, and the fulfillment that comes when your values and your work align. The price of waiting too long is the risk of staying stuck in a life that no longer fits. But the good news is, you don't have to sacrifice professional success or stability to step into work that's worth it. The real question is, are you willing to let go of comfort to pursue something more meaningful?
Thanks for taking time to listen to this mini episode. If you found this valuable, I have a special offer for my podcast listeners. You can get access to the first chapters of my book completely free. I share details in the show notes, so definitely check it out and you can get started reading today. Or, ready to dive into the full journey? Head over to workthatsworthit.com to get your physical copy of my book or wherever you buy books online. I would be absolutely delighted to have you both as a reader and a listener. Remember, the average career is 90,000 hours of your life. That's too significant to spend on work that doesn't fulfill you or add value into your life. Thank you for being here and making space to discover what's worth it for you.